Brethren, I reckon that the summer of Christ, the summer is upon us. And with the first day of summer, we also have the feast of St. Aloysius Gonzaga, which occurs on the 21st of June. Of course, you all know that he is my special patron saint. And so naturally, I would like to share a few words about his life and his example for us as we enter upon the summer months and warmer weather. I think it is providential that his feast day falls on the first day of summer, or thereabout. And I thought of this because he is the patron saint of youth and the model of purity. He led a most devout and chaste life. And if there is any saint we should call upon to help us to be modest and chaste, it's St. Aloysius Gonzaga. Now, for those who might not know much about his life, I wanted to give just a brief summary. St. Aloysius Gonzaga is the eldest son of the Marquis of Castellón in Spain and heir to the family title. The Gonzagas were known as patrons of the Renaissance arts, and they ruled what amounted to a kingdom. As a young man, Gonzaga wore a suit of armor, and he walked with his father when his father went to inspect the soldiers who were under his charge. But the life of St. Aloysius began to change after he contracted malaria, and he suffered frequent bouts of fever. At an early age, he became attracted to prayer, and he turned away from the courtly life around him, which was full of debauchery. The young heir traveled to Madrid in 1582, became a page attending the Duke of Asturias, the heir apparent, and was later made a knight of the Order of St. James. But the higher he rose into royal society, the more his thoughts turned to becoming a Jesuit, like his confessor in Madrid. On August 15th, 1583, he had an experience in prayer that confirmed his decision, and when he told his confessor told him that he needed to get his father's permission. Although his father was at first vehemently opposed to this, St. Aloysius' determination proved to be stronger, and the father finally granted his assent. In November 1585, St. Aloysius set out for Rome, where he presented himself to the superior general, Claudia Aguaviva, who admitted him to the novitiate of St. Andrea. Presently, the plague and famine struck Italy, and Gonzaga threw himself into caring for the victims of the plague. He begged alms for the sick and physically cared for those he found in the streets, and he brought them to a hospital where he washed and fed them and prepared them for the sacraments. He told his spiritual director, Robert Bellarmine, that he had a premonition that he would die soon. St. Aloysius did eventually contract the plague, and the young Jesuit laid to bed on March 3rd, 1591. His condition worsened, and then it improved a little bit, but he could not recover full health, and in the end, he died from the plague at the age of 23. Of course, this is a very condensed version of his life, and I would encourage you to read the full version of his life, but just as a short summary, I hope it would suffice. St. Aloysius may not have lived for long, but he certainly achieved a high level of sanctity in a very short time, particularly in the area of chastity. And we know that summertime presents its problems for us, as we have to venture out into society, and into society that has become quite pagan with regards to modesty over the years. Let us not join them. We as Catholics need to shun even the semblance of immodesty. It is said that the best and most influential tool that we have in winning over souls to Christ is our good example. Oftentimes, I feel that people are too easily offended by any little thing that we do or say. If anything that we say contradicts them or hurts their guilty conscience, then there's almost no way to convince them that what they're doing is wrong. But almost always they can be convinced, or at least open up their minds a little bit to the truth, when they see us Catholics living our lives the way a good Catholic ought to, by being a good example. If a lamp is lit, we do not hide it under a bushel, but we set it up where its light can shine and be a help to us. As Scripture tells us, we ought to let our light shine before men. In all humility, let your virtue shine before men, so that they can be converted by your good example. Many times, others will be inspired by your good works and virtuous conduct, and sometimes they will not be. But everyone, all the time, will watch you to see what you do if they know that you're a Catholic. When we clerics wear our collar in public, it's like wearing a big sign that says, "I'm a Catholic." Of course, it's more than that, though. I think it's most people recognize the clerical attire, which signifies that you are a priest. And it also tells them that we have achieved a certain level of sanctity. And as we are taking upon ourselves the duty and the privilege of shepherding the flock of Christ. I can remember when the first time I was allowed to wear my collar in public, and it could be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes to be in the spotlight at first, but you quickly become used to it. You pretty much become resigned to the fact that some people are going to stare and some people give you funny looks sometimes. But I will say that it can be a mixed experience depending on where you are. Sometimes people are very warm toward you and they'll even say, "Hello, Father," as you pass by. And sometimes they are not very warm. But that is beside the point, as we know that everyone recognizes that we ought to be good examples, especially as models of modesty. Of course, modesty is the virtue by which we curb our unruly desire to have others notice us, and by which we begin to act in a Christ-like way. But the virtue of purity, while connected to the virtue of modesty, has, of course, a different object. It's more to do with quelling our internal struggle with regard to chastity. But purity is strengthened and made to shine in all its dazzling white brilliance before others by the virtue of modesty. If we foster this virtue, then we will be strengthened against the vice of impurity, and certainly then our light will shine before men. We can't help but to inspire others, then. The power of modesty is attached to the very person. There is a certain heavenly presence about people who are modest and chaste. And when we think of modesty, primarily we think of keeping our eyes downcast when any impure thing presents itself. And this is true. The eyes are windows to our souls. We must keep out the enemy and his influence, lest they gain entrance into our souls. If they do at once, it is a steep climb back. But modesty is more than just that. It is also a certain reserve or holiness in our mannerisms, in how we act and talk. It is really a Christian being Christ-like. So let us call upon St. Aloysius Gonzaga to come to our assistance, especially during the summer season, so that we can grow in the virtue of modesty, thus strengthening ourselves against the attacks of impurity, and of course, thereby, allowing the light of our good example to shine before men. St. Aloysius Gonzaga, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.